Samuel again, 1 Samuel chapter 17. And this morning we preached about really David and his battle here with Goliath. But the point that we're going to start reading in verse number 12 tonight. The point that we want to really hammer down on is that this battle is really a preparation battle. It's not the final thing at all. The final thing will be accomplished later. But right now, the people of Israel have to have confidence in a leader. And David is going to have to do some things that'll gain him that confidence. But I don't think that David is working on getting the people's confidence. I don't think that at all. But I think all he's wanting to do is do what God tells him to do. And that's the result of all of that he does is what gains the people's confidence. I think that David had on his mind to kill all of Goliath's brothers as well. Now that's what I'm thinking. I want to show you why I'm thinking that. David had more on his mind than just taking care of Goliath. But David wanted to get rid of David wanted the nation of Israel to have a clear path of worshiping and serving God. And Goliath had four brothers. Now let's read that. In the book of 1 Samuel 17, verse number 40. I don't think this is an accident at all. And I know I'm skipping ahead a little bit, but I want to get to this because I think it's really important. In verse number 40, the Bible said that David took his staff in his hand and chose him five smooth stones out of the brook and put them into a shepherd's bag, which he had, even in a scrip, and his sling was in his hand, and he drew near to the Philistine. Now, the Bible says here that David chose five smooth stones from the brook. All right? I really think that David had on his mind not only to kill Goliath, but also to go after his four brothers as well. Now, let me read it to you. Now, David did not... Let me read it to you. The book of 2 Samuel 21. 2 Samuel chapter 21. Beginning in verse number 15. Just like all of us have dreams, goals, and ambitions, I don't think it's wrong for us to desire that God would really bless. He needs to bless us. I mean, he really does. Because if God doesn't bless us, we won't be blessed at all. All right? But David, in this point, he chose him five smooth stones out of the brook. I think he was going after these four. Now, beginning in 2 Samuel 21, verse number 15. The Bible said, moreover, the Philistines, this is the Philistines again, had yet war again with Israel. And David went down and his servants with him and fought against the Philistines. And David waxed faint. At this point, David is an older man. He is still fighting the Philistines, and he waxes faint. The Bible said in verse number 16, and Ishbosheth, which was of the sons of the giant, the weight of whose spear weighed 300 shekels of brass in weight, he girded with a new sword, thought to have slain David. And so here this giant. See, this is the thing, that this man is remembering that Goliath is the one, that David is the one that killed Goliath. He remembers that. And he is going after the one that killed his brother. That's what he's doing. Read what happened next. Now David is waxing faint. But notice what happened in verse number 17. But Abishai, the son of Zeruiah, succored him and smote the Philistine and killed him. Then the men of David sware unto him, saying, Thou shalt go no more out with us to battle, that thou quench not the light of Israel. And so here in this place, here's another giant that's been killed because he was going after David. This is such a precious thing to think about. I think it's good for us to protect other believers, don't you? I think it's a real good thing. And this is what Abishai is doing. He is protecting his king. That's a real good thing to do. David at this point is old, but he's still going to battle. But he waxed faint, and Abishai kills this giant in place of him. Verse number 18 is the second giant that comes along. And it came to pass after this that there was again a battle with the Philistines. Again, it's the Philistines. They're at Gabbeth. The Bible says, that's at Nob. Then Sinbuchia, however you pronounce that, the Hushalite slew Zeph, which was of the sons of the giant. So here's another man that killed the giant that David would have killed. But he didn't do it. David didn't kill him. No, it was somebody else that was recognized that did it when David was old. So those things will be taken care of. Sometimes we won't take everything ourselves, right? We won't say, if I don't do it, it won't get done. I tell you what. Leave it with God. Put all of our cares and all of our problems in God's hands, and He can very well take care of them. I mean, He can. Somebody else may do the job that you think only you can do. What do you think? Hey, that's right. Somebody else can do the job that you think only you can do. Trust God. Trust God. That's what David was doing. Number three is in verse number 19. There was again a battle in Nob with the Philistines. Here it is, the Philistines again, where Elhanan, the son of Jerogeam, a Bethlehemite, slew the brother of Goliath, the Gittite, the staff of whose spear was like a weaver's beam. And so here's another man that had the victory. David took those five stones, but listen, I'm telling you that whenever you're young, you can do things you can't do when you're older. But when you're young, and you have on your mind that you want to do what God wants you to do, and you pray to God, and you do what God wants you to do, and you pick up those five smooth stones because you're going to get these guys because they're hurting the people of God. God sees that. God knows it. And God will have an answer to your prayer. He'll do that. Verse number 20 is the fourth one. And there was yet a battle in Gath, where was a man of giant stature that had on every hand 6 fingers and on every foot 6 toes. 24 in number, he was also born to the giant. And when he defiled Israel, Jonathan, the son of Shemaiah, the brother of David, slew him. These 4 were born to the giant in Gath and fell by the hand of David and by the hand of his servants. Look at that. In my Bible, I've got this little phrase in verse 22. Fell by the hand of David. I've got that underlined. It wasn't David that killed him. It wasn't David. But David would get credit for it. Look at that. What a precious thing it is. Because David had on his heart, when he was facing Goliath, to pick up 5 smooth stones, not just 1. I don't think that David, in 1 Samuel 17, I don't think that David had any idea I've taken a second shot. I don't think it at all. I think David had on his mind to get these 4 brothers. But they were all killed. They were all killed. And David will get the glory and the honor for it, just as the hand of his servants would also get glory for it all. But let's go back in the book of 1 Samuel 17. I want to get that to tell you about that before we got done, because we may not get that far, but I had that on my mind, and so I want to put it on your mind as well. I want you to know this, that God knows your heart. God knows your ambitions. God knows what you want. God knows it. And you may never see it come to pass in your life. You may never see it. But that doesn't mean that God won't answer your prayers. Understand. You may. When you earnestly pray to God, He hears your prayer. It don't make any difference how outlandish it may seem. God hears your prayer, and God may answer that prayer. Not by you, but He may use some of your kin. He may use someone that's not even related to you to answer that prayer. God can do that. God can do that in ways we never even thought about. And who gets the glory for all that? Do we get the glory? No, it's God Almighty that gets the glory. He's the one that watches over us. He's the one that loves us. And He's the one that cares for us. I'm glad that it's that way. But in verse number 12 of 1 Samuel 17, we find here the mention of David. First of all, we read in verse number 1 through verse number 11 about Goliath and about how strong that he was and about how that he had all these weapons and all of that. And we remark again that there are six weapons that is mentioned that Satan, that Goliath has. That's in verse number 5 down through verse number 7. But there's one that's not mentioned. And that's the Bible. I think that's the Word of God. By the way, I'll mention this as just touching on this. This is a lesson for us in the book of 1 Samuel 17. It's also a good lesson for us in the end times. There is a reference, if you just read it, there's a reference given to 666. That's here in this place. Because the giant had six weapons. The Bible says in verse number 4, that its height was 6 cubits and a span. That's no accident at all. That's six and the six weapons. That's it. It's amazing how that God works all that out and puts it in His book for us. It makes it clear to us. But the Bible gives us this introduction to David. The Bible said that three of David's old, verse number 13, that three of David's older brothers were in the war. Verse 14 said that David was the youngest, and the three eldest followed Saul. But David's job was at home. He went up to, in return from Saul, to feed his father's sheep in Bethlehem. That's what his job was. But at the battle there, the Philistine, verse 16, drew near early morning and evening and presented himself for 40 days. That's a long time. 40 days. That's longer than a month. I mean, that would kind of be a habit, wouldn't it? You could set your clock by it. He would go up and present himself before the Israelites twice a day, morning and evening, and give them 40 long days. There wasn't any kind of battle going on there. There was the armies on the one side and the armies on the other side, the valley between them. But for 40 days, 40 long days, they had to hear Goliath come out there and say, "Send me a man. Send me somebody." How long has it been? It's been 35 days. Send me somebody. No light step forward. Been 36 days. Nobody come. In 40 days, nobody was coming. But on the 40th day, or about that time, maybe a little bit before that, Jesse, verse 17, said unto David, his son. Jesse is David's dad. Take now for thy brethren an ephah of this parched corn and these 10 loaves and run to the camp to thy brethren and carry these 10 cheeses unto the captain of their thousands and look how the brethren fare and take their pledge. Now Saul and they and all the men of Israel were in the valley of Elah fighting with the Philistines. Fighting? Oh, that's what the Bible said. They were there. They were holding their place. I'll tell you what. Sometimes, did you ever think that fighting was doing nothing? These brothers, though, are doing something. They are doing something. What are they doing? They're standing there. They don't know what to do. Have you ever been in that shape? Where you didn't know what to do? I've been there. And you wonder. And so all you can do is stand there. You're not changing. And the brothers didn't change. The Israelites, they didn't change. I tell you what. The Philistines, they didn't change either. The battle is set. There's a valley between them, and there it is. And so they're there, and they're just standing. The Bible said in verse number 21, and David left his carriage in the hand of a keeper. And connect verse 22 with verse number 20. The Bible said in that place, David rose up early in the morning and left the sheep with the keeper. Always do the best you can to take care of what your responsibility is. Whatever it is, whatever other job you've been given to do, always take care of your current responsibilities before you go to do something else. Sometimes people don't do that. Sometimes people fly around to doing this job and that job and that job and leave a bunch of stuff undone. Don't do like that. Do like David did. David, the Bible says in verse number 20, that he left the sheep with a keeper. That's always good. Put somebody else in charge of what you can't do. You've been given a task to do something else. Then do something else, but let somebody else do what you've been doing. And make sure that somebody else is doing that. That's our job. That's part of our job, to make sure somebody else can do that. Then in verse number 22, the Bible said when David got to the camp, that he left his carriage in the hand of a keeper of the carriage. So David just didn't run off and leave things floating around somewhere. But David took care of doing what he should do. He left the sheep with a keeper. He also left the carriage with somebody. He didn't get out of the carriage and just take off. But somebody had to take care of that carriage. Somebody had to take care of the animals that was driving that carriage and all that. So he took care of all that. He's about 20 years old, I think. About 20 years old. The Bible said in verse number 22, and he ran into the army and came and saluted his brethren. That's always good. He came to give the supplies to his brothers, to his brother's commander. He came to give all supplies to them, and he would do that. Look what happened in verse number 23. And as he talked with them, so it's good to renew old acquaintance. It's good. They've been gone about 6 weeks, I think. Maybe a little bit in the area, in a way. They've been gone. And here, the Bible said that he talked with them. Behold, there came up the champion, the Philistine of Gath, Goliath by name. It mentions him again. Here he is. Out of the armies of the Philistines, and spake according to the same words, and David heard them. That was his first time. Now, his brothers had heard it, I'm guessing, 80 times. I'm guessing that they had kind of got used to it. After all, if you hear something once, twice, three, four times, it's the same thing, you think it's going to be the same way. Heard a man one time, and he prayed. And I thought he prayed a real good prayer. I told you about that one time before. I thought he prayed a real good prayer. I told him so. I tell you what, after I heard him pray about six times, I knew what he was going to say before he said it. I did. I knew what he was going to say before he said it. Because he always said exactly the same thing. But I found out that why he did that was because of his profession. He was an army sergeant. And he was used to doing things by the book, you say. And that's what he did. Nothing against him at all. He was following military protocol. That's what he was doing. But I try to pray different than that because sometimes I've got this on my mind, sometimes I've got that on my mind. So I pray different than that altogether. That's the way I do it. Anyway, David had heard this not one time, not twice. He had not heard it at all. But he had heard Goliath then come up and make this grave proclamation to the Israelites. The Bible said in verse 24, here's what happened. And all the men of Israel, when they saw the man, fled from him and were sore afraid. Have you ever been sore afraid? Have you ever been terrified? Have you ever been so terrified you couldn't move? Have you ever been, the news coming to you so, such a shocking news that you couldn't even think? So wait a minute. Wait a minute. You tell me again, what did you say? Have you ever said that? When somebody gave you some real news, it knocked your props out. I mean, you have said, wait a minute, what are you talking about? Tell me again. So, sometimes we have to repeat things so that people have time to get it understood. But the Bible said they were sore afraid. In verse number 25, and the men of Israel said, have you seen this man that has come up surely to defy Israel? Is he come up? Hello, I think they're right. He is come up to defy the nation of Israel. And it shall be that the man that who killeth him, the king will enrich him with great riches, give him his daughter, and make his father's house free in the nation of Israel. That's what they said. And verse number 26, David took the right approach here. David took the right approach. What he did, and this is God working in this. David is a nobody. Samuel has anointed him to be king, but he's not king. Saul is the king. David does not go to Saul. He didn't try to take over. He's not trying to do that. Instead, David began to speak to the men that stands by him. And he says unto them, what shall be done to the man that killeth this Philistine and taketh away the reproach from Israel? For who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God? And that's absolutely, always understand that. God will do his will. God's will be done. Always remember that. Never doubt it at all. God will protect his people. God will guide His people. God will ensure that His people receive His promise. And so, understand that God is the living God, and He can watch over. Now, David understood what he was saying. He was a 20-year-old. He was the youngest child. And actually, when Samuel anointed him king, Samuel went to Jesse's house first and said, "Which one of these, I come to anoint one of these kings, but I do it in secret because of Saul. Because he'll kill me, I know he will. And so I do it in secret." And so he said, "Jesse, bring forth some of your children here, and I'll look at them." Okay, so he brought them before one time. And he brought them from the eldest, but not the youngest. He brought them to the eldest and all they had there at the house. And Samuel said, "None of these are chosen. None of these are the ones." And Samuel said to Jesse, "Is there another child you have? What? I don't understand this." He said, Yeah, there's one more. He's out there taking care of the sheep. "We'll bring him in here. And he's the one." And there Samuel anointed David to be the king of the nation of Israel. He did it privately, secretly. David will be anointed later on. First, he'll be anointed by the people of Judah. And then later, he'll be anointed by the people of Israel. All right? So he's anointed many times. There are three times total. But God was in all that. But his brothers didn't understand what was going on. I'm reading verse number 28. He said, "And Eliab, his eldest brother, heard when he spake unto the men. And Eliab's anger was kindled against David. And he said, 'Why camest thou down hither? And with whom hast thou left those few sheep in the wilderness? I know thy pride and the haughtiness of thy heart. For thou art come down that thou mightest see the battle.'" When God calls on you to do something, others may misunderstand. Don't hold that against them. Don't hold it against them at all. Be like Joseph, who didn't hold it against his brothers that sold him into slavery. Be like him and understand that God has a purpose and a means. God is using things on this earth to bring about His will. And although we might want to stretch out a hand against those that speak against us, don't do it. God knows what He's doing, and we're supposed to be following God and Him alone. And so let's follow Him and not be striking out at people around us. That's not what God wants at all. God wants us to put our eyes on Him and look only to Him and be faithful to Him. That's what God wants us to do. And so we need to be that way and not be looking back at all. But even though it's might be our brother that talks against us, if God wants you to do something, you need to do it and be sure that you're following Him. That's all you need to do. But David, he said in verse number 29, he says, "What have I now done? Is there not a cause?" Oh, well, there's a lot in those verses in there. What have I done? All I've done is what you should have done. That's really what happened. What I've done is what you should have already been doing. But he didn't say it like that. All he said was, "What have I done?" He did not say, "You should have been doing it." He didn't say that. He said, "Is there not a cause?" There's a reason. There's a reason. Something that God has on His mind, He wants to fulfill in us. And so, verse 30, David turned from him, turned from another. Just kept on going like that. And finally, his words came before Saul. And Saul called him up. And verse number 32, Saul was the leader of the nation of Israel. He was the king. But Saul, he did not have the courage to stand before Goliath himself. Remember about Saul. The Bible says whenever they came to anoint Saul to be king, that he stood head and shoulders above everybody else. I mean, he is that much taller than everybody else. Head and shoulders above everybody else. You would think that a guy like that would be very courageous. But just because a guy is big, don't make him courageous. You remember Dale Lawson? He was as timid a guy as you'd ever want to meet. Now, he was a very gentle guy, but he's a great big dude. I mean, one time he said to me, he said, "You have not even said anything about me losing weight." I said, "Oh, I didn't know." He said, "I have lost 80 pounds. If I lose 80 pounds, you know it. I'm sick." But not Dale. He was a big guy, but gentle as you could ever be. I went to Dr. Binger. You remember Dr. Binger? Some of you remember him? Oh, yeah. A gentle giant. I mean, this was a great big guy. His fingers were big, almost that big. Not quite. But that was a great big guy. But he was as gentle as you ever want anybody to be. He was as gentle as when he examined you, real gentle touch. So just remember that. David, at this point, he said, Saul, he could have said this, but he didn't. He said, in verse 33, here's what Saul said to David. He said, "You can't go and fight this Philistine because you're just a child. And he's a man of war from his youth." That's their conversation. Saul was big enough, as far as Israelites are concerned, that he could have stood somewhat against Goliath. Somewhat. Because of his own size. And David was just a young man. The Bible said in verse number 33, David was a youth. He was about 20 years old. And so that tells me something. That 20 years old, you're still young. Right? Amen. Oh, we'll be 20 again, right? Yeah. I don't want to be 20 again. I don't want to be. Verse 34. David gives Saul some evidences of his ability to defeat Goliath. He gives him some evidences. David knows that he is not a warrior. He didn't argue that way. David knows he's not a warrior. David knows that he's a shepherd. He knows he's just a servant. And he says, "Thy servant kept his father's sheep, not my sheep, rather, my father's sheep. And there came a lion and a bear and took a lamb out of the flock. And I went out after him." Notice that. David said, "I went out after him and smote him and delivered it out of his mouth." Woo! David would not let the lamb be eaten by the lion or by the bear. He went out after them. I mean, that shows that he had to get real close to take the lion, the lamb out of the lion's mouth. Hey, you've been to the zoo, right? And you've seen lions? They have lions behind bars. I'm glad they do. And then they've got a walkway, and they got a rail there that you can't cross that rail. They don't want you to cross that rail. Because a lion is very dangerous. When they take an ocean, they'll get you. I mean, they'll bite your hand off, and bite your head off too. Don't think anything about it. But David said, I went out after him. David said, David did not say, I was not afraid of a lion. He didn't say that. He did not say, I was not afraid of the bear. He didn't say that. That's not what courage really is. Sometimes we have it in our minds that courage means we're not afraid. That don't mean that at all. It means you do what you got to do regardless of whether you're afraid or not. You just do it because it's a good thing to do. You talk to people in the service, and after they come home, and they've told me some of the things that terrified them, and yet they still had to go and fight. They still had to kill the enemy. They still had to do that. They were terrified. Once my uncle took my cousin hunting after my cousin came back from the war of Vietnam. And said they were down there hunting squirrels with their rifles, with their shotguns. Shotguns wasn't a rifle. And my uncle said, suddenly he realized there was not even a bird moving. It was dead silence. Dead silence. And he looked around, and there was my cousin, his nephew, had his rifle up, pointed right at him. Real still. And my uncle said, hey James, how you doing? Quizzical look come on his face. He said, you know what? I'm tired. I'm hungry. I'm thirsty. Let's go up to the house and get us something to drink. How about that? And James Arnold took his rifle down and burst into tears. Listen, just because a person's doing something, it's one thing to have courage. It's something else again to be afraid. So don't be worried about being afraid. We'll be afraid of lots of different things. But we've got to go ahead and do what we need to do. And listen, your fear won't go away. Your fear will not go away until the thing is done. And then there's a great big relief. You know what I'm talking about? A great relief. Well, it's all over with. And then you can thank God. If you've never been there, listen, you will be there. You will be there. The victory is not coming when you're walking into it. The victory is when it's done. The victory is when it's over with. That's where it really is. And that's where David was. He didn't say he wasn't afraid, but he showed his courage here. The Bible said in verse 35, I went after him and smote him and delivered it out of his mouth. And when he arose against me, look at that. And when he arose, this lion or the bear, whichever one it was, came up against him. The Bible said, I caught him by the beard. I can just see this happening. He caught him by the beard and he smote him. You're not doing that. David, he's determined that he would have the victory. Not so that he would have the victory especially, but he was responsible for his father's sheep. He would not go home and tell his dad, that a lion took his little lamb. He wouldn't go home and tell his dad that a bear took the lamb. He wouldn't do that. Listen, God wants us that are believers in Christ. God wants us to have the same kind of courage as the devil comes after our young people. The devil wants us to stand, the devil wants us to fall away, but God wants us to stand true to Him and protect these young folks. God wants us to be mamas and daddies, aunts and uncles, grandparents. God wants us to be true. God wants us to stand up and to be a witness, even if they don't want it. God wants us to be right before Him. He caught him by his beard and smote him and slew him. That'd be a great relief, wouldn't it? When that animal was laying dead. I tell you what, the time of rejoicing is not when you're going to face him. That's a time of seriousness. That's the time when you got to be fixed in your heart and your mind that you're going to do what God wants you to do and be true to Him. The time of rejoicing will come when that animal is dead. That's why the Bible says that the devil is like a roaring lion. He goes about seeking whom he may devour. The devil will be defeated. But right now, he is like a roaring lion. The devil has so much junk going around, floating around, that people are doing and want us to conform to. We don't have a right to do that at all. The Bible said in verse 36, thy servant slew both the lion and the bear, and this uncircumcised Philistine shall be as one of them. But don't stop reading that verse until you read all of verse number 36. Why will this uncircumcised Philistine be as the lion or the bear? Why? Verse 36. Seeing he hath defied the armies of the living God. That's why. You don't defy God. You don't defy those people that God has sent. You don't do that. You can't do that. Verse 37, David doesn't stop speaking there. He says, moreover, the lion, the Lord that delivered me out of the paw of the lion and out of the paw of the bear, he will deliver me out of the hand of this Philistine. So, David is making it a personal battle. He says, he will deliver me. He will deliver me. God will deliver me out of the hand of this Philistine. It's a personal battle. And sometimes it gets to be that way. Sometimes our battles get to be very personal. We won't need to do what God wants us to do. And that convinced Saul, right? No, it didn't. Look what Saul said in verse 37. Saul said unto David, go, and the Lord be with thee. He did not say, I am with you. He did not say, all Israel will stand behind you. He didn't say that. But he said, the Lord be with you. In other words, I'm scared. Listen, I won't go over this thing about being afraid again. Don't be afraid of being afraid. Don't be afraid of being afraid. Everybody gets afraid. Everybody. The greatest heroes in the world get afraid. What makes a hero is when they go ahead and do what they know they need to do, even though they're afraid. Sometimes we have the idea that we want to see the end before we ever get started on a project. The only way we can ever see the end, however, is not... The only way we can ever see the end is to start the project and then work it out as it goes along. Sometimes it's good to have a plan of action, no doubt about that. But sometimes it's where faith comes in. It's believing God and trusting God and just stepping out by faith, stepping out into the unknown. And taking all of our cares and just cast them on the Lord and let the Lord do with us what He wants to do. If we could learn to do that and not be guided by fear, but rather be guided by principles. That's what David was guided by. He was guided by faithful and true principles, right things. And God blessed him. But David's not afraid. I said that wrong. David showed good courage. David showed good courage. Even when Saul said, go and the Lord be with thee. And then verse 38, Saul did something else. Saul armed David with his armor. And he put a helmet of brass upon his head. Also he armed him with a coat of mail. And David girded his sword upon his armor. And he essayed to go, for he had not proved it. Even if the armor fit him, he had not proved it. I don't know right here if, when the Bible says in verse 38, Saul armed David with his armor, it doesn't make much sense, really, for Saul to put his own armor on David. Because Saul was so much larger than David. David was a lad, a young man, 20 years of age. So, whatever armor that he got, he put a helmet of brass upon his head and armed him with a coat of mail. And David girded his sword upon his armor, for he said to go, for he had not proved it. David said unto Saul, I cannot go with these, for I have not proved them. And David put them off him. In verse number 40, the Bible said David took his staff in his hand. His staff, his stick in his hand. And chose him five smooth stones out of the brook. He had a little time. Walked down into the brook. He didn't have the stones until then. He knew God would provide. And God did provide these five smooth stones. And put them in a shepherd's bag, which he had, even in the scrip. And a sling was in his hand. And he drew near to the Philistine. And the battle is just about to start. But we're out of time. I tell you what, if you haven't read the book of 1 Samuel 17, it'd be good for you to read it and read it with this premise in your mind. read it with this premise in your mind, that God has something else on His mind for David to do. This is not the end of the story. This is the very beginning of the life of David, the beginning of the story. David has many more exploits ahead of him, many more things that David wants to do for the Lord. This is just one. This is just the first one. So don't go away thinking, if you read 1 Samuel 17, don't go away thinking that you know it all. Because there's much, much more. There's much more to follow. And so understand that that is so. But read the rest of the chapter anyway and see how great that God blessed David. But he had to go forth and do what God wanted him to do. We may speak on this again, since we're this far, we might as well, but we'll see what the Lord leads in. But I've enjoyed this study. I've heard it a long time ago. I remember the first time I heard this message, or one like it, M.M. Mosher preached. I think it's M.M. Mosher preached, Junior preached his message. It seemed like I was in Arkansas when I heard that. Maybe it wasn't. Sometimes my mind is thinking something's not there. But it seemed like M.L. Mosher Jr. did preach that, but it might have been somebody else. But I thought, boy, there's a lot in there. There's a whole lot in there, and that's the truth. So there's a bunch in there. So we'll take up there in verse number 42, the Lord willing, or say verse 40. That'd be a good place. We'll start there. Next time, Lord willing. We'll see what happens, though. If you're denied and you're lost, I tell you what, I want you to know this, that God on His throne, He knows more about us than we can ever guess. God knows, and God knows you. God knows your heart. God knows whether you're for Him or God knows if you're against Him. God knows if you've listened. God knows if you haven't. God knows. And so tonight, just rely upon the Lord and look to the Lord for His victories He can give to you. Don't be thinking that there's never any fear. There is fear. But the relief comes later. The relief comes after the job is done. If you're lost and you're trembling with fear and all that anxiety, I remember how that was. I had that until the Lord saved my soul. The Lord saved my soul. I wasn't afraid anymore. I cannot express to you the relief that I had. I was saved on Sunday morning, but it was Sunday night when I went back to church services, and I was getting ready again to have all that burden back. They called out the number, and they started singing. Boy, it was all gone. I mean, I was saved. Wow. I was expecting a burden to back, but it wasn't. It's gone. But after a while, it's several years later, the burden kept coming back. I kept thinking, what am I lost? What is all that? What is that? You know what it was? The Lord called me to preach. I didn't want to. But God has a way. God works in us and God moves in us. God wants us to do what He wants to do. And God will give us satisfaction whenever we do what He wants us to do. He will. He'll bless you. I tell you what, there's no blessing like it at all. Just surrender to whatever God wants you to do. If you're lost, trust the Lord for salvation. If you're saved, pray that God will lead you in the right way. And He will. And pray also that you might be submissive to whatever He wants you to do. And that's a hard one. That's a hard thing to do, because sometimes I don't want to do what God wants me to do. Sometimes I want the easy way, but God says, no, that's not the way I want you to go. I want you to go this way. And so you have to go that way. All right, let's I'm all done. If you will, let's stand if you would.